Welcome to another edition of A World of Good podcast. I am recording this podcast in a church in Cuba. We just finished service. I had the honor and privilege of preaching at Pastor Lauda's church here in Cuba. And we just finished, and we shooed some of the people out of the church. Not a very kind thing to do, I know, but so that we could hear one another. And we're recording just to share some about what's going on with the Church of God in Cuba. Pastora Lauda is the national leader for the work here in Cuba, and she invited us to come be a part of a pastor's convention these last few days. And it ended yesterday, and so today we got to visit her church. It was a wonderful time of worship and connection, And now we get to hear a little bit from Pastor Lauda. Thank you so much for joining me today. We're just excited to hear about the church here in Cuba. To start, can you tell me a little bit about yourself, your family, and where we are?
Right now, we are in Havana. In Havana, Cuba. I started in ministry with my husband 31 years ago in a church in the western part of Cuba. It was located in a city called Pina del Rio. There, we started a church when we got married. It was like a missionary endeavor for us. We spent 3 years in that place. And then we were moved to a new ministry location. The national leaders who were in charge at that time, they moved us to serve here, to this place where we have been now for 26 years. About my family, I have a husband. I have 4 children. I have 3 grandchildren. And, well, what can I say? We are a family that all serve the Lord, thank God. Some of my children are married, and I also have a son who is single. And we have served the Lord together in the Church of God in Cuba for all these years.
Yeah, it's been beautiful to meet your family. I mean, a couple of your kids and your daughter-in-law were leading worship this morning, singing, playing guitar, so connected to what's happening here. It was really wonderful to see your family. Can you tell us a little bit about your faith journey? When did you become a Christian?
When I was a little girl, my family took me to church. But, at that time, it was a little complicated to be a Christian. It was more complicated to be a Christian during those years. In schools and everywhere, you felt both shame and fear, not wanting anyone to know you were a Christian. Even so, my family, when I was a girl, they took me to the Pentecostal church, to an Assemblies of God church. I was there until I was 12 years old. But at 12 years old, I had the opportunity to enroll in a vocational school. It would cover my entire high school and the pre-university years, a total of 6 years. But, it was a school where you could not have religious beliefs in order to attend. And, well, I have regretted this many times, but at that time, when they asked, "Do you have religious beliefs?" I said, "No." I attended the school and spent 6 years there. I studied at the university and I finished my degree. A few years passed, and the Lord, in His mercy, called me again. And He called me precisely to the Church of God because my husband was already a graduate of the Church of God. He went to the Church of God Seminary, and they sent him to serve in Pinar del Rio, right next to my mother's house. There, I met the Lord in that place, and I also met my husband and we got married. And now, we have spent all these years in ministry together.
What a beautiful story. What a beautiful story of God's provision throughout your life and the paths that we take and how those impact us. And really neat that you started your ministry back in the community that you grew up in. Can you tell me a little bit about the Church of God here in Cuba? How many churches are there? How many pastors?
The Church of God in Cuba now has 71 congregations. Of those 71 congregations, 6 congregations are ones that are in a probationary period. That means they are not yet officially accepted, but they are asking to work with the Church of God, and we are in a time of learning about each other. We call it a probationary period because that's the term used in the regulations. It's a time for us to share about the Church of God, to get to know each other, for them to learn a little about our doctrine, to understand the fundamental things that the Church of God believes, and to learn about the discipline of the Church of God. When that time passes, then they are already part of us. If we accept them and if they also decide that it has gone well, then they are part of us. Our 71 churches are scattered throughout the whole country, in all the provinces of the country. That includes the 14 provinces and a special municipality called Isla de Juventud. There is a Church of God presence in the entire country. Some of our churches are in the city, others work in the countryside. We experience the normal challenges that anyone would experience who serves the Lord, and of the nations in which we live. Cuba is like all countries in the world and it has its challenges of life. Before, we had many more restrictions than we have now in terms of preaching the gospel. Although, there are certain circumstances when we are still not allowed to preach. For instance, we cannot go out and have a church service in public, or on a street corner, or anything like that. That is not allowed. But we have a little more freedom to preach than we used to. And the Church of God has grown a lot. The Church of God has grown stronger. There are many beautiful congregations. And our pastors are faithful, consecrated sisters and brothers, and we thank God for that.
That's wonderful. And I mean, you were talking about restrictions. Even for me, when I came here, I had to have a specific religious visa to be able to speak in church. If I didn't have that visa, then the church would have gotten in trouble for me speaking in church without that specific visa. So, I mean, it's really interesting, you know, that there are those kinds of regulations that you have to think about really differently. So for those in the United States who don't maybe have a great understanding of Cuba and the country, what would you want them to know about Cuba and about the churches here?
I want to share that regardless of the whole political situation, regardless of the whole economic situation that we are experiencing, which is difficult, yes. Even so, Cuba has a brilliant appearance that makes it not seem to have as many needs as it really has. It is like an idiosyncrasy. The church has remained strong in the midst of difficult times. The church has been very blessed by the Lord. The Cuban Church of God has risen up. I say the Church of God because I love the Church of God, and because I belong to the Church of God, but I can say this about the church as a whole in Cuba too. It has been very blessed. The Lord has opened many doors for the church in Cuba. It has raised up solid leadership. There are so many people with talents, all kinds of different talents. Our churches are full of talented people. The Lord has blessed us in Cuba. Yes, we have restrictions, quite a few. We certainly have quite a few restrictions. But it's not that it cannot be done, it's not that you cannot make it work, it's not that the gospel cannot be preached. I want to give a little anecdote. I have a son who is a worship leader. He had the idea 2 years ago to go to a place in the center of Havana and call some other young people, not only from the Church of God, but from different denominations. They gathered together publicly and praised the Lord there on the street, without asking permission. They did it once, then the next month they did it again. But, when they planned to do it a third time, they were not allowed to do it anymore. So, you can preach, we can go out on the street, but we don't have the freedom to stop wherever we want and do a worship service whenever we want. This is some of the restrictions that we face, like having to get approval for those kinds of events. For example, this pastor's conference event that we just had, it happened inside a church. Even so, I had to get permission a month prior to the event. I then had to wait for them to give me permission. They had health restrictions, there were restrictions on other things, all kinds of restrictions. They are the kinds of things that can paralyze someone and cause them not to go through with an event. But the church here in Cuba has learned to be strategic. The Lord has given us many strategies so that the church here thrives, develops, and fulfills its ministry.
Thank you so much for sharing that. I think it's really important for us in the United States to hear some of that because we don't deal with the same kinds of restrictions. And so hearing what you're sharing just as a reminder of the challenges that churches face in different countries and in different places. In that same vein, you know, what are some of the challenges that the church here is facing?
The Church of God in Cuba, for example, the place where we live, it's a place where there is a lot of idolatry. The nation of Cuba has been submerged in an idolatry that they call culture, but it is not culture. Because culture is something else. We know that it is a religion that is not of God, but they call it culture. It is like a facade. And it has been a great challenge for the church to function in the midst of that idolatry. The Cuban church does not have mass media where the gospel is preached either. And the mass media pushes idolatry, with everything, with doctrine, communists of all kinds, you know, all kinds of doctrines that come out of that. But the church, as I said, the Lord has given us strategies to survive in the midst of it. For example, I live in a neighborhood, and you might call it a marginalized neighborhood. And the Lord gave us a strategy to serve our neighborhood. Because when we got here, at first, it was as if people on the outside were enemies of us, as if we were enemies of one another. But 18 years ago, the Lord gave us a strategy to open a community kitchen and dining room. We did not have then, and we still do not have space for people to come and eat here. But even so, we have 40 elderly people who come every day to the church for lunch, Monday to Friday. And we do it in that place there, which was a garage. We closed it in, we put up a fence and created a space and meal together. And now, we are seen differently in the community. Why are we seen differently? Because when we opened the dining room, there were only two requirements for someone to join. To be a person in need and, well, to want to be here with us. You did not have to be a Christian, that is, they did not have to believe. And the Lord has opened a door for us with that for a tremendous amount of evangelism. Because at the end of the story, most, I would say that practically all, I can't remember any elderly person who has passed through here in all these years who has not gone with the Lord. Because somehow the Lord gives us time with them. We do not force them into anything, we do not force them to enter either. We do not have expectations that the food we give them means that we are forcing them to be Christians. We try to be independent. We do activities, we do little things with them. For instance, if it is Christmas, we do an independent thing and we talk to them. We take advantage of the time we have together, for example, but we do not invade them. We want them to eat their food every day without thinking about anything else or assuming we have other motives. If they want, then we pray. If we pray, what we always do is pray for the food, tell them where that comes from, which is a direct provision of the Lord. And well, that's it.
I think that is so beautiful that you guys found a way to connect in and show the love of Christ without feeling like you had to push people to be Christians. And yet, you know, God blessed that ministry. That's really incredible. And thank you so much for sharing with us. I'm so grateful for the ways that the church here is working and connecting and serving. Cuba is a beautiful place, and it's a difficult place. It's a place where there are many different levels in terms of wealth and resources and what that looks like. And the churches I know here in Cuba are represent those levels as well. And so many folks are living day to day. And so as we kind of come to the end of this podcast, the question I have for you, Pastor Laura, is how can we be praying for the church in Cuba? As we think about the work that's going on here, what's happening, the fact that the churches are growing, even in the midst of difficulty, that the churches are growing, how can we keep praying for you?
I would ask for prayer, first of all, from a spiritual perspective, that the church continues to be strengthened in the Lord, that the Lord continues to raise up His people, that the Lord continues to bless them spiritually, that the church can grow, that it can multiply. From a more practical perspective, that the Lord can open doors for the church. From a societal perspective, that the Lord can make changes in our nation. That the Lord can make changes that can be for the good of the church, and also for those who are not Christians. But most of all, that the Lord can open doors. Thank you.
Pastor Laura, thank you so much for all that you've done, for the ways that you serve. Thank you for your heart. So grateful that I got to come and experience this, and we will be praying for you. Vamos a orar por ti. Vamos a orar para sus familia y sus comunidades. We're going to be praying for you and for your community. Thank you so much. Gracias por todo. Thanks for listening to A World of Good. A World of Good is a production of Global Strategy and Church of God Ministries. Our theme song is Colorado by Leo Flores. If you want to join the conversation, visit us on Instagram, A World of Good Podcast, or visit our website, chogglobal.org/A World of Good. And join us next time as we share more stories of good
from around the world.